Today on Real Life Radio.
The Creator is an active God. His creation's active. You are active. Faith is active. Look, the Bible says God is love. It's a verb. Love is active. Experience that.
Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called It's Time to Go Now, continues in the book of Philippians chapter 2, verses 12 through 13. The Apostle Paul tells us in these verses to seek God's will for our own lives and make every effort to please the Lord by growing in faith and spiritual maturity. As believers, we're to move on in our Christian life. The Apostle Paul now takes our heads out of the clouds of glory, if you will, and place us back down to earth. Why? Because God is at work in this world, and His work carries with it both present and eternal consequences. Today, Pastor Jack tells us that it all comes down to what a real Christian is. The true Christ follower walks like they know they belong to the family of God, and they follow Jesus with or without someone like the Apostle Paul alongside to motivate and inspire them. And now, here's pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs.
And this morning, we will commence in our study, Philippians 2 and verse 12. And we will look at verse 12 and verse 13. And boy, is this a controversial portion of Scripture. It ought not to be. It shouldn't be. Unfortunately, it has been very poorly taught in many denominational circles. And there's just no way for you to come to the conclusion other than what the Bible says here in totality. But there have been those, listen church, there have been those who have used this portion of Scripture to manipulate people. That's a tragic thing. So I want all of you to be keen students of the Bible this morning. The title of the message is this: It's Time to Go Now. It's time, the apostle would say, to go now, and that is to leave off from what we now know, from what we've been instructed, and to go on further into our Christian life. This is going to be great discipleship stuff in these next couple of weeks. Philippians chapter 2, beginning at verse 12, we'll look down to verse 13 this morning. Therefore, you ought to circle the word therefore, we'll tell you why in a moment, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you both to will and to do for His good pleasure. Tremendous statement. There's almost nothing in Christianity that is private. Now, let me explain that. There's almost nothing within Christianity that is private. When I say almost, I mean there are things, obviously, when you and I pray, we often pray privately. Nobody sees that. That's commendable. That's what the Bible talks about. So that's kind of in secret, right? There are things, maybe you and I might worship God in secret, but we certainly do pray publicly, don't we? We certainly worship publicly as a people. There are some things where, again, very, very few, short list that is private to the Christian and his Christianity. Outside of that, I think you'll agree when you read the Bible that Christianity is a very, very outspoken, public, very aware type of faith. It cannot sit on the sidelines. It doesn't sit on the sidelines. And the apostle is going to be talking to us about that. It's very public. It's very global. It's very much of an experience. And I want you to remember that as we go through this, that Christianity is an actual experience. I need to be careful in saying that, but it is accurate. It's accurate because the God who is the Creator is an active God. His creation's active. You are active. Faith is active. Look, the Bible says God is love. It's a verb. Love is active. Experience that. But on the flip side, I want to issue this little bit of a warning. There are people who say there is no such thing as Christianity unless you're going through some sort of an experience, unless you have goosebumps and you're running around barking and laughing and going crazy. Oh, we need to experience God. That's not what the Bible teaches. This experience is the possessiveness of God in your life. We're going to be learning about that. It's what Paul is teaching them. We have just come from this high and lofty declaration of the fact that Jesus Christ is Lord in verses 5 through 11. And with that reality, God expects us now to not be neutral. He doesn't expect us to be somewhat unplugged. When we announced last week as we stood and made it very clear that Jesus Christ is Lord, it's either true or false in your life. But in some moment, some grand moment, all of those that are in heaven, those that are on earth, the Bible says, and all those under the earth that is in the spiritual realm will one day bow, as you've learned, and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. But now Paul focuses attention on us now who are living here and now. And he's saying to us, now that you know all that, that Jesus Christ is the Lord, and you do bow your knee to him, because he's speaking to believers. Look in your Bible. He calls them beloved. This is to the Christian. So Paul, as it were, by the Holy Spirit, is speaking to us this morning right here, that what we know regarding the high and lofty things of Jesus should affect us here and now on this earth. That's Christianity. In fact, someone as wisely says, there is no value to a mountaintop experience unless it helps us to live in the valleys of life. Isn't that a good line? I like that. I think that's great. So now Paul takes our heads, as it were, out of the clouds, and he brings us down into the mode of doing Christianity. And it all comes down to what a real Christian is. What do we look like if we're for real? What do we sound like if we are in fact for real? And what do we do as Christians? So point number one this morning is this: it's time to go now. He would say in verse 12, further on, Christian, further on in your walk with God, further on. This is the charge of the disciple. This is the charge of the growing Christian, to go further on. He says in verse 12, therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only — this is a great statement — but now much more in my absence. Mark this down, if you would, in verse 12, that moving forward on in our Christian walk with God, it would mean this, that we are to now walk like you know it. Walk like you know it. Can you write that down? If I'm a Christian, I'm to walk like I know that. I'm to do this thing. What do we mean by that? I asked you a moment ago to circle the word therefore in verse 12. And for this reason, by the way, some of your translations, you may have a more modern translation of the Bible. I think does the old King James, if anybody has it out there, does the old King James say wherefore? I think it does. New King James says therefore. Some of the newer translations might say because of. All of those are excellent. All of those are perfect. It's all of that. Wherefore, therefore, because, what? Because he's announcing, my beloved, because of everything you've just learned, because of these glorious revelations of Jesus, how does that affect the believer? Do we just go and sit on a rock and meditate and say Jesus is Lord? Listen, many, many years ago, tragically, it's been nearly two millennia ago, someone got the idea that they were so spiritual and the world so corrupt that for them to be really, really a devout Christian, they would mount up onto some hill or precipice, or truly go to a mountaintop and build a monastery. I'm not joking. I'm not making light of it. Really. Let's build a community away from the world, because they recognize the world is sin-filled. We love God. So the only reasonable thing to do is to separate our relationship from the world and hang out with God on the mountain. Did you know that Christianity teaches the opposite? The complete opposite. That's not in the Bible. Well, you know, we are of the group. Oh, you're in the wrong group. Oh, we are the super special super dupers. You know what? Come down from your monastery. Stop monkeying around. Did you get that? And I know it's early, but... and get among the lost humanity. Christianity is so resilient. It is so strong. Listen, we are to go out into the world and to shine the light and the love of God. And listen, that does not damage, hurt, or offend your Christianity. It's the exact opposite. Because Jesus is Lord. We are ready to go out into the world and we say, hey, you know what? Guess what? Friends on Skid Row, you guys over there in that you know, the pimp regarding the prostitutes, the drug addicts, the arrogant man with the corner office, the guy mowing the lawn, or the man taking out the trash. It doesn't matter. We go everywhere. And listen, your Christianity cannot get dirty. You are lights and shining armor. It bounces right off of you. You are a believer. We are to be infused into the world. This world hurts. This world's scared. This world stinks. That's why we're supposed to get into it. To separate from it. I don't think so. No, we're taught in the Bible. We're to move on. And the more we're equipped to get on out into the world and shine the light of Christ, let me tell you what happens. Boy, the more dependent you're upon God. And one of the great things is as you walk, you'll walk like you know that. You will know this. God is at work in my life. Now, if God is telling you not to go somewhere, listen, if you have a problem having been delivered from alcoholism and drinking and stuff, and you're saying, gosh, I guess Jack is telling me that the Lord's telling me that I need to go down to Joe's Bar and Grill and preach Christ. No, listen, if that's a temptation, don't go there. Go somewhere else, but not there. Okay, if you have a problem with witnessing to people of a certain group or a certain lifestyle or a certain belief, then listen, don't go there. That's for somebody else to go. Don't go stumble somewhere. Be strong in the Lord, but listen, God will show you, and most often, it's the very people right in front of us at work or in the family or in the neighborhood. It's very important. But walk like you know it. Know what? Jesus Christ is Lord. That's why the therefore is right here in our Bibles. And again, he calls them beloved, brothers and sisters, a tremendous statement that we are already believers. You're going to need to mark that down because listen, some of you, because look, this is Calvary Chapel. There are people here from every walk of spiritual life here. Do you know that? And it's inevitable that I'm going to come to someone who has been taught differently regarding these two verses of Scripture, and your life has been miserable because of it. And I'll begin to expose that right now. When he says to us right here, that my beloved, as you have always obeyed, this is not Paul inviting. This is not some church leader saying, you obey us no matter what we tell you. That's not what Paul is saying. So number one, the deeds of the Nicolaitans, the lords over the people, are condemned in Scripture. Paul is not saying, obey us apostles in everything, and you don't need to do anything. You don't even have to talk to God. You just listen to us. That's wrong. If there's some pastor, priest, or evangelist or pope telling you, you've got to do this, I don't care what the Bible says, or you got it all right, you do what I say. Listen, you're going to see in this chapter that Paul is going to be announcing, you do what I'm teaching you if it's biblical and you can align it up with Scripture. Because look, I am supposed to be an example to you. That's terrifying. You might say, well, who made you? I didn't ask for this. And it's terrifying. You and I live with each other. We eat together. You know what I mean? I live in your neighborhood. We shop at the same stores. We eat at the same restaurants. We see each other. That's by design. And I'm supposed to be an example. Paul is saying, and he's going to show us, that he's been an example to the Philippian believers. But watch what he announces here shortly. It's very powerful. As we come to that, he's going to ask. He's going to be instructing them to walk like they know that Jesus Christ, not Paul, is in fact their Lord. And because we know that, we walk differently. The Bible tells us in Colossians chapter 1, verse 21, and you, who once were alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now he has reconciled in the body of his flesh through death. He's talking about the cross. To present you holy and blameless and above reproach in his sight. That's who he's talking about. Paul is talking about Christians in Philippi. You say, Jack, why do you keep harping on this? Because some churches have taught he's not talking to Christians. He's talking to people who have to become Christians by their works. And that's a very flesh-appealing invitation, but it's completely dangerous. The second thing we see right here is that we are to walk like you mean it. We are not only to walk like what we know. We know. How many of you know John 3:16? Just raise your hand. I need to show your hands. John 3:16. Listen, Satan knows John 3:16. Every person that's ever attended a sporting event knows John 3:16. Everybody knows John 3:16. So the challenge to us is, Paul would say, then live like it. Live like, okay, you know that. So live like that. The next thing that he would say to us is that when you live like that, mean it. In other words, live your Christianity with a very, very strong, predetermined action. So, am I a Christian? Yes, I'm a Christian. Then I'm to live like that. I'm to go live like that in such a way that I mean it. That Christianity, is this true? That Christianity for you is the most important thing in your life. If you get down to the nuts and bolts of it all, it actually isn't your income, is it? That's going to evaporate someday. It will not last no matter what. What about your health? It's not going to last. What about time? The young people, you know, for young people, time just drags. Do you remember that when you were young? It's like, when is this school year ever going to end? Did you notice how long the school year was? And how long did the summer break feel? Yeah, day. It's like, oh boy, oh what? As you get older, though, have you noticed as you get older, it just all melts into a very fast-paced understanding that time is fleeting. We don't have time. That's why the message is this. It's time to go now. It's time for us to be believers now. It's time for us to get engaged now. It's time for us to obey Jesus now. Because time's running out and he's worthy. Remember, verse 9 taught us last time that he's the one that's been highly exalted. Verse 11 tells us that he is the Lord. And so now we come to verse 12 and we are to live and to love and to act and to be like we mean it because we know it. He says there in verse 12, as you have always obeyed. What a tremendous witness. This church, Paul, is so encouraging. He says, you've always obeyed. See, what does this mean? What does this mean to obey? Here's what the word means. It's a very cool word. Are you ready, everybody? It means to bring your ear under the mouth of someone speaking. That's what it means in the Greek. Isn't it amazing? I love that. Look, bring your ear under the mouth of the one who's speaking. In fact, you're going to recognize this in a moment. It means to bring your mouth or your ear under the mouth of the one that's speaking. It means to hear from underneath. It means to listen with a focused and attentive is the word. Focus. I'm attuned. Listen, we get this saying from it. Listen to every word that falls from his lips or mouth, right? That's exactly the meaning of the Greek word. He says, as you have obeyed. Wow, you know what Paul is saying? Paul said, I gave you the word of God and you took it in like this. You couldn't get enough. You were like little birds with your mouths wide open as the truth was being dropped in. You're going, yes, yes, yes. Boy, that's something. Listen, do I listen like that? You guys, now she's not here right now, so I can say this. Lisa won't be here till second service, but sometimes because I am the way that I am, and I'm not asking her to excuse it, I am asking her to help me get over it, things will be going, what's happening, you know, whatever's going on and stuff, and when, if it's really important, she has to treat me like a five-year-old. I'm not saying that's her fault. I'm saying it's my fault. What she has to do, she has to come up to me right now, she'll put her hands on my shoulders, and she'll say, this is what I'm telling you. I need you to get a carton of eggs or whatever it is, and you do nod your head, Jack, if you can hear me. So you pray for her, because she has to live with this, okay? But I'm telling you the truth right now. You can ask her later. That's what the apostle is saying. You guys have listened to me give you the word of God, Not if you understand what I'm saying to you. And they would have been, yeah, we've listened to every word. We've put our ear under your mouth, Paul. And I'm convicted by that. Every single time, to God be the glory for his faithfulness and mercy, that when he speaks to me, I'm not always listening. I'm convinced of this now. Every time I determine to listen from God, I hear him. Ladies and gentlemen, listen, please. When I don't hear from God, it's not because God's not speaking. I'm not listening. And when I sense that he's grabbing me by the shoulders and he says, Jack, are you listening to me? When I do, you guys, my life is so directed. It is so blessed. It is so clear what I'm supposed to do. I love it. Many times I don't agree with it, though. I mean, have you ever had that with God? God will tell you something to do, and it's like, I don't agree with that. And he says, I'm not asking you to agree. Well, I think we should do this. Well, God will say, I'm not doing it. You want to go left? Go left, Jack, but I'm not going left. And it's like, all right. And you have to decide. And every time you decide to listen to him and obey, see, did you hear the word? It's obey. Bring your ear under the mouth of, what does that imply? It implies that we are disobedient people. Think of it. He tells them, you guys are awesome. You've always obeyed. Listen, we are prone to disobedience. Even as Christians, don't look at me like that. As Christians, we're prone to disobedience. And you know it's true whenever we think or say, well, I feel like I'm going to. Oh, you know, I know it's not in the Bible, but I think God wants me to. Oh, boy. Oh, boy. Watch out. No, listen. Put your ear under the mouth of the words that are coming out of God's heart. And listen, you determine to obey and watch what happens to your life. Amazing blessings. Hey, can I say this? 100% true. Obedience is liberty. Absolute liberty and freedom. Walk like that with him, to obey him. And Paul says something profound. And this is a parent pushing, as it were, a child out of the nest. Not as in my presence only. Okay, you guys obeyed very well. Listen to every word falling from my mouth when I was with you guys. But now that I'm gone, guess what? Obey much more now in my absence.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio, in a message called, It's Time to Go Now. Thanks for listening, and may you find rest in the fact that salvation is a gift. You only need to unwrap it and put it on. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. Did you know that there are tons of videos and content available via the Real Life app? Just go to your app store and get the Real Life app and check out the TV broadcasts, the Real Radio daily audio broadcasts, and Pastor Jack's devotions. The Real Life with Jack Hibbs app, it's a place that you'll be encouraged and take advantage of the tools and resources available as you grow in your relationship with God. And also, did you know this ministry is 100% backed by you, the listeners? And now you can donate via the app if you'd like. Check that out as a real easy way to support this ministry. Tons of resources right there at your fingertips. Go to your app store and download the Real Life with Jack Hibbs app for your smartphone or tablet. You know, we don't always understand what God's doing, but the Bible tells us in Revelation that one day we will. The question is, do we know God personally? Many believe there's a God and that he's powerful, but having faith in God is to know and understand that he cares about you immensely. God's power could force obedience, but instead, he gives us the freedom to choose to come to him through our own free will. So, if you're wondering what that means to have a personal relationship with God, why don't you let us help? Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, click on that tab that's labeled Know God, spelled out, that's K-N-O-W, God. Now, once you're there, you'll learn about things like how our sin is separating us from God and how God has made a way through his son Jesus Christ to get right with him. Again, it's that tab labeled Know God, and it's there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.